अपना कोई नहीं है जी कि अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी. It's a bhajan of Kabir's on page 137. No one in this world belongs to us except our dearly beloved Satguru. O man, don't be saying, mine, mine. There is no guarantee of breaths. Your life is as fragile as sugar candy thrown into water. O man, don't be so full of ego. Death is on your head. One day, you fool, you may even drown without water. You are wearing dust. You dress in dust. Even your pillow is dust. One day, O madman, your body will return to dust. As long as oil and wick are in the lamp, the light gets brighter and brighter. When both are finished, the dead body is carried to the graveyard. What is the use of stitching the old clothes again and again? No one is the friend of the heart. All have selfish motives. No one in this world belongs to us except our dearly beloved Satguru.
Guru Pyara Ji, apna koi nahi hai ji, ki apna Sati Guru Pyara Ji. Na kar bande meri meri damada ki parvasa. Na kar bande meri meri damada ki parvasa. Jeevan tera aisa jaisa pani vich patasa apna koi nahi hai ji ki apna satguru pyara ji apna koi nahi hai ji ki apna satguru pyara ji Na kar bande kudi taka bada sire pe mot nimani. Na kar bande kudi taka bada sire pe mot nimani. Ek din pagale aisa aaye tu dube bina pani. Apna koi nahi hai ji. Ki apna satguru pyara ji apna koi nahi hai ji ki apna satguru pyara ji mati odana mati pahinana mati ka sirihana ji Mati odana, mati pahinana, mati ka sirihana ji. Ek din pagale aisa aaye, mati me mil jana ji. Apna koi nahi hai ji, ki apna satguru pyara ji. Apna koi nahi hai ji ki apna satguru pyara ji jab tak tela deep me bati jagmag ho rahi jab tak tela deep me bati jagmag ho rahi Jal gaya tela nikut gai bati lasha sivi anko tora lai apna koi nahi hai ji ki apna satguru pyara ji apna koi nahi hai ji ki apna satguru pyara ji Pata chola hua purana kab lag sive dar ji. Pata chola hua purana kab lag sive dar ji. Dilaka meheramakoi namilia sabmatalabake garaji apana koi nahiheji ki apana satiguru piaraji apana koi nahiheji ki apana satiguru piaraji.
What is the use of stitching the old clothes again and again? No one is the friend of the heart. All have selfish motives. O man, don't be saying, mine, mine. There's no guarantee of breaths. Your life is as fragile as sugar candy thrown into water. No one in this world belongs to us except our dearly beloved Satguru. Couple of announcements. First, a thank you for everyone who came to help with the fall work day. Yesterday, 30 people came, and though it was quite rainy, some raked, others cut trees and saplings. Many helped to take apart the chimney, and some worked on updating, organizing tapes for the hall. Many of the cushions in the hall were vacuumed with a HEPA filter, and additional work was done in the hall in the afternoon. And a delicious meal was prepared and enjoyed by all. So thank you for your help. The ashram could not function without this kind of help from the Sevadars. There are still loads of leaves to rake, so if you're able to help, you could email the ashram or leave a message on the answering machine. And starting tonight, there will be the change in the evening schedule. We move into the autumn-winter evening schedule, where evening meditation will be 30 minutes earlier. So it will be from 6 to 7, and then satsang will begin immediately afterward at 7 o'clock. So again, the change starts this evening with the change of the daylight savings. So satsang is 6 to 7, and meditation is 6 to 7, and satsang at 7 o'clock. This is continuing in the letters of Baba Sawan Singh, early letters to his American disciples. This is letter number 82. Baba Sawan Singh writes, I am glad to learn that you have received initiation. Now it is for you to concentrate your scattered attention and withdraw it from the limbs and the body into the eye center and sit there within yourself. When the eye center becomes the headquarters of your attention, then the sound current will be able to pull the attention upward. The method of concentration, repetition of the names, is a natural process. Everyone is busy in repeating words, audibly or mentally, concerning his or her work in life. Here, words connected with the spiritual journey have been substituted in place of the words used in daily routine life. The withdrawal of the attention from the limbs and the body into the eye center, that is not new either. Everybody, when he goes to sleep, brings his attention, intentionally or unintentionally, into the eye center, but lets it fall down to the throat and navel centers instead of holding it in the eye center. The only difference in the process of concentration is that we are to hold the attention in the eye center and not let it drop down. The sound current is present in everybody already, only its presence has been explained at the time of initiation. Therefore, the whole process is perfectly natural. There is no artificiality in it. It is safe. It does not cost anything. It has no outward symbols, and no other person can interfere in it. It can be practiced by all, and it does not clash with any religion. With love and faith, devote time to this work regularly. As has been said above, the achievement of results will depend on your effort. There should be no hurry here. A calm, peaceful mind, working slowly but steadily, will attain success sooner. It is only when we sit in meditation that we begin to discover the power, the waywardness, and the obstinacy of the mind. The mind that has been running wild ever since we came into the wheel of life and death will take time to yield. You are just beginning the fight against it. It is a lifelong fight, and the reward is, if one conquers his mind, makes it motionless in the eye center, then he wins the whole world. You say you feel lonely. The whole creation and the Creator are within you. If you take your attention inside of you and attach it with the sound current, you will be at peace with yourself and with the world. The lasting peace lies inside of us. It is not to be had outside in worldly objects and worldly companions. If you find yourself under a mental depression and you feel physically exhausted and you cannot bring yourself up to meditate by sitting in the proper posture, then you can do it while lying down. But there is a danger that this may become a habit. Defeat is not so bad as the admission of defeat. Under all circumstances, the fight against the mind should be continued. Mind is our enemy. It tries to throw us off by all sorts of things, on one pretense or another. Thank you for your good wishes at my birthday. All that I wish is that the initiates reach their spiritual home in Satchkhand as quickly as they can. Letter 83. I am glad you have received the instruction. Now it is for you to work up. The help of the Master is always there. The Master is not far off from you. He is within you, in your eye center. Man and the world are so constituted that there is always one thing or the other cropping up and demanding our attention. Such things should be attended to, but one should find time daily for the spiritual work. That should not be ignored. If full time cannot be given, then give as much as you can. Even 5 minutes would do. The spiritual work alone goes with us to our credit after death. All else that we do will be left behind. The day that is gone will not come back again. So with love and faith and perseverance, go ahead. 84. I am sorry you are so much upset by the shortcomings of the initiates. People accept the teaching gladly because it appears to them so simple and natural. In their first zeal, they accept the restrictions on their diet. But when it comes to live by them, they begin to falter. The mind plays its cunning part and deceives them, and in many subtle ways they try to get around these restrictions, even not sparing the Master. It is characteristic of the mind that it does not take the blame on itself, but throws the blame on someone else, and if need be, throws it on the Master as well. This is their weakness. The Master, out or in, would never relax these restrictions. Have you come across a mother who would give poison to her children? Meat, eggs, and alcohol are poisons, and he who uses them will suffer. There's no escape from it. Go in and see with your own eyes what tortures the users of these have to bear, whether initiates or non-initiates. Those who indulge in these are disciples of the senses and not of the Master. Their attention works on the sense plane. All their talk about the Master, in or out, or about their spiritual progress, is a sham. A quick little petition to the inner Master, and that's in quotes, a quick little petition to the inner Master is a huge deception. The inner Master is not so soft and easy to reach. It is true he is merciful, but it does not mean that the wrongdoers and the wayward would escape punishment. The saints do not hand over their initiates to call, but the initiates have to suffer for their misdeeds. Suffering purifies, and only the pure enter the eye center. Anybody who breaks the marriage vows and deserts the children for sense indulgence is a slave to lust. Lust is his master, and the same applies to other indulgences. Mind is our enemy, and he who follows his mind is playing into the hands of his enemy and has no chance of escape. To reach the eye center, to cross the starry sky, the sun and the moon, and to come face to face with the radiant form of the Master, this is the duty of the disciple, whether he does it in this life or the next. It is the work, and the disciple has to do it. So why not do it now? Why postpone it? Saint Mat does not advocate compulsion. Human nature is weak. This is Kali Yuga. The initiates come under the influence of the worldly people. They lack satsang, and therefore they fall. Let us have patience with them. By and by they will be able to stand on their feet, so let us judge them kindly. The Master has many forms, physical on the physical plane, radiant on the astral, and shabd form on the top of Trikuti, and then another in Satchkhand. The radiant form resembles the physical form, and from this resemblance one distinguishes him inside from the others. The same is the case with the disciple. The physical form he leaves behind at the eye center. With his astral form he travels the first region, and with his causal form the second region. The radiant form of the Master enters into conversation as we converse in dreams. Dream is the nearest analogy, but we are now dealing with a superconscious state. When you have made contact with that form, you will find the Master present everywhere, and your mind will be so strong that it will be almost impossible for you to blame them when you look at shortcomings of others. Your happiness will be independent. Your happiness will be independent of your surroundings. You will not be shaken by the ups and downs of the world. It should be the effort of every initiate to work up as best he can to reach the eye center and meet the radiant form, so that the initiate stands as a pillar of strength, unmoved by the winds and storms of passion. Letter 85. The law of karma, results of past actions, and the doctrine of predestination and preordination are true and inexorable. We reap what we sow. Our actions in past lives bring about our fate in this life, and on which our bodies are fashioned. The fate is to regulate and govern our present being. But being itself the offspring of past actions, it always behooves us to lay the foundations of a better fate by doing good and noble acts. So there is always a place for endeavor and effort toward a true understanding of the operation of the law of karma. You are right in thinking that an initiate who is filled with loving devotion to the spiritual path is a blessing for his wife and children. It would have been better if your consort had been initiated, but in any case, it is good for her that you are an initiate. The Master tries to take care of souls that are intimately connected with his disciples, unless they are absolutely recalcitrant and impervious to his divine spiritual influence. I would enjoin on you the paramount necessity of regular repetition of the holy words taught to you at the time of initiation, and of constant listening to the sound current. It is this practice, regularly performed with loving devotion, which can give you salvation. Letter 86. Saint Mat is extremely liberal, more liberal than can be conceived. You may use any word or words that you love to associate with the Creator in your morning meditation period until you have received your initiation. It is the love and the faith at the back of what one does that counts. The real form of the Master is the Word. The Word is present everywhere and is the mainstay of all that is visible and invisible. The Word takes on the human form to connect people with Himself, for people would not understand in any other way except through someone like themselves. St. John chapter 1, verse 14 says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Your Master is within you and watches you. Only the veil of the mind hangs between you and the Master. Make the mind motionless, and all that lies hidden behind it will be an open book. Many thanks for your letter and the fine feelings that it gives expression to. It is a reflection of the purity of your heart. 87. I am glad to learn of your spiritual progress. Your, quote, hearing of the music all the time. It comes through the brain and not through ears, unquote. Of your, quote, seeing the astral light color always in motion, end quote. Of your having, quote, seen yourself in some of your past lives. I congratulate you on that. You are on the right path. There are 10 different sounds audible in the region of the eye center. Drum, whistle, violin, and so forth, including the bell and the conch. 8 of these are local, but the bell and the conch are connected with the higher regions. As the attention is withdrawn from the body and concentration improves and the eye center is being approached, these sounds begin to be audible. As the mind becomes steady and sticks to the center, it begins to distinguish one sound from the other. In the beginning, one listens to whatever sound is audible, but with the improvement in concentration, this gives place to some finer sound. Ultimately, one picks up the bell and rejects others. The bell will take one as far as the thousand-petaled lotus, and from there one catches the sound of the conch. When doing repetition of names at the allotted time daily, please see that the mind does not wander about. The attention should be in the light within, and repetition should be continued without any thought of the body. The body is to be completely vacated by the attention. And during the time given to repetition, no attempt should be made to catch the sound. Only repetition of the 5 names with attention in the light within. When this concentration is complete, it will appear as if you are separate from the body, and the body is a corpse of someone else. The starry sky will appear in time. Fix your attention in the bright star and continue repetition as before. When the star is approached, it will burst, and the attention will penetrate through it. The starry sky has been crossed. In the same manner, the sun and the moon in succession will be reached and crossed by the attention, doing repetition all the time. After crossing the moon, the Master's radiant form will be visible. Fix your attention in that and hand yourself over to the Master. The repetition takes the attention that far and no further. When listening to the sound at the allotted time, hear the sound only, catching the bell sound if possible, and in its absence any other sound that is audible. At this portion of the time, repetition is not to be done. During any other time, besides the regular time for doing the spiritual practice, keep your attention in the sound current. This music comes from Sat Lok, and it reaches us after penetrating all the regions below it. It is senior to angels in the astral plane. They hanker for it, and they do not get it. When you have completed your concentration and the attention has completely vacated the body and gone in, and made contact with the Master's radiant form, you will hear the sound current all the 24 hours, awake or asleep. The body will sleep, but the soul will remain conscious within. Please do not be afraid of the shackles. There's no such thing for the practitioner of the word. Your attention is not steady. It does not stick to the eye center, but it falls down and it feels the pressure. Keep your attention up in the eye center. The sound current, the word, the nam, and the shabd, those are synonymous. The five names used in repetition are the words which can be uttered by the tongue or can be repeated mentally. 88. I am glad to learn that after all, you have come to realize the value of Radhaswami and that you are trying to go in. The internal visions and experiences should not be revealed to anyone except the Master. They are liable to disappear if revealed to others. They should be kept a close secret if you wish to continue to enjoy them. These visions and scenes are for your personal satisfaction and peace. If they are painted and exhibited to the outside world, whose eyes are not awakened to these visions, they will not be appreciated. Regarding the posture, as it is difficult for Americans and Europeans to sit in the prescribed posture, they are allowed to take any easy and comfortable posture in which they can sit for a fairly long time. The object is to help bring about concentration. In India, people can sit for 2 or 3 hours at a stretch in the prescribed posture. But yes, you can sit in a chair. The object of keeping the hands over the face and the thumbs in the ears is to keep out external light and external sounds. One should give at least 2 hours every day to meditation. The more time you can spare, the more speedy will be your progress. At present, it is not advisable for you to come to India. You should make some progress in concentration before coming here. The Master is within you in the sound form. When your heart is with me, you are not far away. There is no greater wealth than progress on the spiritual path, a wealth which accompanies us even after we die. And we accumulate this wealth by perseverance. 89. You asked for a message. The message is that you develop the power to withdraw your attention at will from the outward objects and from the physical body, and that you concentrate it in the eye focus. Enter the astral world. Make contact with the astral form of the Master. Become very intimate with him. Make him your companion. Catch the sound current. Cross the mind planes and reach your eternal spiritual home in Satchkhand so that your wanderings in the worlds of mind and matter may end. Do it now, while alive. This is the purpose of human life. If progress in this line has not been made, then life has been spent in vain. It is not difficult to acquire worldly fame, wealth, kingdom, and miraculous power, but it is difficult to turn away one's attention from these and to go inside to catch the sound current. Love, faith, and perseverance make the path easy and possible to attain the unattainable. I shall be glad to hear how far you have succeeded in making your attention steady in the eye focus and how far your body has become unconscious. And finally, letter number 90. I am glad to find that you think that my letters have been helpful to you. Progress on the spiritual path depends upon purity of conduct, and secondly, upon persevering labor to still the activity of the mind by means of repetition. Until the mind is made motionless, it cannot perceive the light within. But there is no reason to be despondent. It takes time to overcome these habits of the mind. There is no harm in your accepting help from your brother. I am grateful to you for your offer of contribution to our charity fund, but I can assure you that we have no desire to accumulate our fund to more than our daily needs, which we are able to meet. I should like you to spend what you have on your own personal comfort and needs so that you might be able to carry on repetition and spiritual exercises without anxiety and without interruption. I have read with interest your account of followers of the Baha'i. I have also read some of their books. They aim at external well-being of humanity and purity of conduct. Yet their teachings, so far as I know, do not prescribe any mode of spiritual exercises for the uplift of the soul internally. The method of spiritual exercises prescribed by our masters is natural. It is not the design of any human brain. It has existed ever since man was created and leads the soul from its seat in the eye focus to the highest regions of pure spirit. The masters do not lay down any ritual or ceremony, but prescribe a mode of spiritual advancement which can be practiced by any man or woman of any creed or faith, as it is a method of internal concentration and progress and does not concern itself with outer formulae or social rules. You should treat your Baha'i friends with love and patience, without trying to argue with them, yet without giving up your own spiritual devotion. The Master does not want you to think that your social intercourse with Baha'is is meant to be a trial or a test. And that's letter number 90 from Spiritual Gems, Master Sawan Singh's early letters to his American disciples. And we've been reading in the book The Night is a Jungle, which is a collection of discourses of Master Kripal Singh, published a long time ago. And the first four talks were talks that Master Kripal Singh gave on the 1955 tour in four consecutive nights when he spoke in Philadelphia. And we're on talk number three, which is given the title The Kingdom of God. Master Kripal Singh says, "Further it is said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The scriptures explain the whole thing precisely, provided there is a real teacher to expound it from personal knowledge and practice and to be a guide on the God way. Baptism or initiation at the hands of one competent enough to impart the life impulse and grant an experience of the beyond, that is an absolute necessity on the path of the masters. By personal attention, the master can make one rise above body consciousness, give a first-hand experience of the kingdom of God within. Again, you will find, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This kingdom of God does not come by observation. It is just a question of being born again of the incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Again, we have in the scriptures, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye the kingdom of God is the first and foremost thing. The rest will follow. Unfortunately, we have been seeking the kingdom of God without. For entering the kingdom of God and for seeing the kingdom of God, we have to invert, enter within the temple of the body. We have to tap inside and peep within. it is a regular process of inversion. Our body has been likened to a mansion with 10 doors. The outer organs of sense constitute 9 of them: 2 eyes, 2 ears, the mouth, 2 nostrils, the rectum, and the genital organ. These are the outlets of the body. These are the doors with which we live all the time. Besides these, there is a 10th door. It is within and latent. It leads to the kingdom of God. But very few find this out, about which it is written, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." About this it is said, "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." But we do not know where or how to knock. This is something practical. The 10th door in the body is the entrance into the beyond, and until you know all about it, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. How can you find your way to the kingdom of God within you and not without? You can enter into it and see it only when you are able to rise above the physical body at will. So the scriptures say, "Learn how to die so that you may begin to live. Bear the cross, and the cross will bear you. Though the outer man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day." Christ, in unmistakable terms, speaks, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." The life which can be saved, the everlasting life, can be had only when we learn to die while alive. Dadu, a Hindu saint, says, "Dadu, learn to die before death comes, for in the end everyone has to die." And what is death? Death is not something terrible. It is a mere change, a transference from one plane to another. What happens when you leave the physical body at the time of death? This physical body is knocked down. We shake off this mortal coil. As we do not know how to shake it off, it eventually overtakes us, and we are overtaken, unawares. We think ourselves to be just the body, and we are attached to its environments. But death comes, and we must leave all this behind, and therefore we are frightened and confused. What is more, we do not know where we have to go or who is going, and we do not know how to leave the body, so we have to pass through the agony of death. I quoted from Plutarch to you the other day. The experiences that the soul has at the time of leaving the body at death, the same experiences one has who has been initiated into the mysteries of the beyond. This is the meaning of learn to die so that you may begin to live. And unfortunately, this we have not known yet. Again it is said, "Forsake the flesh for the spirit." Mark that word, forsake. We live in the physical body all the 24 hours of the day. We have the physical body, the intellect, and the soul. We know a lot about the physical body and its environments, our families, our social connections, and political affiliations, and the like. We have also advanced much on the intellectual side, but we know little or nothing about our soul, the real inner self in us. There are values and higher values of life. Each thing has its own value. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? I told you the other day that in our daily life we unwillingly act wisely. When a man meets with an accident and his very costly apparel is spoiled and torn, he says, "Never mind, I am saved." Again, when he is in the grip of a deadly malady and the doctors declare his case hopeless, what does he do? He says, "All right, spend all the money I have so that I may be saved." If there is no money in the house, he says, "Well, sell all my possessions so that I may be saved." Thus the body is to us more than all the possessions we have. Again, if he accidentally breaks his leg or arm, he cries out, "Well, never mind, at least I am saved." This shows that there is something even more valuable than the physical body. This something is the actual life in him, the active life principle of which he is not yet actively aware, though he feels its presence in him. And in worldly affairs we act like this. But in spiritual matters we behave quite the other way. We act like little children, with all our care for the physical body and its environments, for attaining intellectual development. We pay no heed whatsoever to our inner self, the real one in us. Isn't it most strange? This is the grand delusion in which we live through all our life. The most important aspect of a person's life is their own self, and they do little or nothing in that direction. Whomsoever you meet, you may say, "My dear fellow, have you ever considered this? You have to leave the body some day." But that is no terror. It is just leaving the body and entering into the beyond, about which we know nothing so far. And who is it that leaves? That is what I was explaining to you in my previous talk. Know thyself has been the theme of all the scriptures. Even the old Greeks and Egyptians inscribed on their temples, "Know thyself." You go to temples so that you may know yourself, not others, not books, religions, social forms, or rituals. But they said, "Know thyself." You go to churches only for that purpose, to know yourself and to know God. This human life is the golden opportunity that you have. The highest mission of a man's life is to know himself and to know God. If he has not done that, he has not achieved the object for which man's life was meant. You may be an excellent engineer, you may be a great astronomer, you may be a famous doctor, you may be anything. But unless you know something about your own self, you have done precious little. Why? Because after all, you have to leave the body. All your intellectual attainments and all your outer possessions cannot help you towards self-knowledge, which alone shall make easy the passage from this world to the beyond. This is the desideratum of all religions. Kabir tells us that this is the only true devotion, the only true religion, that you may know how to die while living. And this you will learn at the feet of some living master who is a practical adept in the line. He will be able to give you a first-hand experience of how to go beyond the body consciousness, of how to die while living. Once he gives you some experience, you can develop that from day to day by regular practice with proper guidance and help, which shall be readily given. This is the most important subject, and unfortunately, we have ignored it too long. Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things to which we are devoting the major portion of our daily lives will be added when we seek first of all our own selves. After all, we have to leave the body. When? Nobody knows. No time is fixed that we know. So the sooner we solve the mystery of life, the better. Because who knows when the time may come for us to leave the body? Each one of us has to leave the body. That is no bugbear, I assure you. Certainly it is a change, but it is no calamity. I assure you, it is only for the better if we know how to leave the body. These are the things we read in the religious books all our life, but we have not cared about them because we have had no knowledge of their inner meanings so far. Our social religions teach us only to observe certain rituals, certain ceremonies, the daily recitation of hymns, offering prayers, and adopting particular modes of life. These are the elementary steps, no doubt, and we cannot ignore them. But these are only meant to pave the way to spirituality, and they are not spirituality in its true sense. So what then is spirituality? To know oneself, who you are, what you are. Are you this 5 or 6 foot high physical frame of flesh and bones, or are you something else? Certainly you are not the body, nor the senses, nor the vital airs, all of which constitute the outer man. You are the indweller of the body. You possess the senses and the vital airs as aids in your physical existence. The time does come when you have to leave the body and all the rest. You must know the inner man that you are. Until you know that inner man, you are lost. That is why it has always been stressed, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keeps my sayings, he shall never die. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." How can we destroy the all-powerful death? By knowing how to leave the body while alive, at will. This is what all the masters stress. And what is death? It is simply leaving the body. If you know how to rise above body consciousness, naturally the sting of death is gone. All fear of death is vanished. The holy books of the Sikhs say, if you are afraid of death, just go to the feet of some master. He will tell you how to die. He will tell you how to die while living, and he will give you an experience of death in life. Everybody wants to live on. Guru Amar Das, the third master of the Sikhs, tells us, everybody is afraid of hearing the name of death. Why? First, we do not know how to die. Secondly, we do not know after death where to go. And third, we do not know ourselves that we have to leave the body. These are the three things which awe us and which cause us to dread dying. God gave us different vestures of the body, physical, astral, causal, and supercausal. We find that the macrocosm is in the microcosm on a miniature scale in the body. At present, we are identified with the physical body so much so that we cannot differentiate ourselves. We pass our lives in the enjoyment of the senses, never given to understand what it is to die while alive. In our places of worship, this ought to be the most important subject to be taught, but this point is never even touched upon. We are simply told to observe certain rituals, certain rites, certain forms, this and that, and then we all shall be saved. But with all this, we are still where we were. If we acquired great learning, will we retain it after death? If not, we remain as ignorant after death as when alive. Death by itself does not mean heaven. It does not make gods of us all. Now, what should we do to conquer death? Guru Amar Das tells us, just sit at the feet of a master soul by whose favor you may learn how to transcend the body. When you have learned to transcend the body at will, you become a conscious co-worker of the divine plan. If you know how to die while living, if you know this much, you will have life everlasting. So this is what our scriptures say. This is the way by which we can overcome death. If we know it, we are prepared for it. I know I have to leave Philadelphia. I am prepared for it, and I am ready to leave at any moment. During the last war, an Indian Air Force pilot was given 6 hours' notice to prepare himself for the front. In a panic, he came to me and said, "Well, please, tell me how to die." He was panic-stricken, for he was not prepared for death. My point is, if we are prepared in advance, then there is no danger. Forewarned is forearmed. After all, we have to leave the body one day. When death overtakes us, can we do anything at that hour? If you are prepared for death, there is no fear, no panic. I will tell you of an instance in India in 1919. There was a friend of mine in Peshawar. At that time, influenza was sweeping the country. I went to see him. He was then reading a book on yoga. When I asked him what he was doing, he said, since death was overtaking everybody, he was reading the book to find the yoga way. I may as well learn some things about life after death, and I am reading a book on yoga, he added. I told him, is it not too late now? How can you begin to dig a well when you are dying of thirst? A week after this conversation, I went to see him again. It was Sunday, and the gentleman lay on his deathbed. My words had proved true. It had indeed been too late. This is the most important thing in life, the most important subject, but we have ignored it altogether. Seek ye first, say the masters, and we have not even made it the last. We have simply been ignoring the great importance that all the scriptures attach to this subject. A saint of the East has said, all must die at the time of death, but thou, my friend, learn to die while living. If you are prepared in this way, death may strike at any moment, and you will be prepared for it. Once you have traversed the inner plains, you will know where to go after you leave the body. Maulana Rumi says, look here, be not afraid of death, for death is not the end of life, and thou hast bodies more than just the physical. We are at present working through the physical bodies and the sense organ. We feel that outer life is the only reality. If we learn to leave the physical body, work in the astral body, through astral sense organs, we will come in contact with the astral world, just as we are now with the physical world. He who can transcend that way, why should he be afraid of death? This is no miracle I'm telling you about. This is a practical subject which can be learned just as any other science. And I think this is by no means a very difficult one. Why? In other things, when you have to learn, you have to begin with some hypothesis and then work up to the solution. But this way of an adept giving you a first-hand experience of transcending physical consciousness, this is direct. Who are the true masters? Their qualifications, their competence, and how can we distinguish the genuine from the spurious? This subject will be discussed in my next talk. Coming back to our present theme, all that I say is how the scriptures have put it. Rumi says, don't be afraid, because you have another body to live in. Again, he lays much stress on it. He says, look here, poor friend, die while you are alive, if you would like to have the true profit of a man's life. That we also find in the scriptures. What does it profit a man if he gains the possession of the whole world and loses his own soul? I do not mean that you should leave the world and go to the wilderness and lead the life of a recluse. God has given you physical bodies, maintain them. These are the temples of God. Maintain your families, fulfill your duties. God resides in every heart. Others, as members of your family, have come in contact with you as a result of your past karmas, about which you are not aware. God brought you together. Maintain your relationships. By love, serve one another. Do all that you can in that way. This is an essential step. Earn your livelihood by honest means, by the sweat of your brow. This is also part of the show. You must maintain your physical frame. It is the temple of God, wherein you may discover him, a rare privilege indeed. The masters have said, you have intellect, develop it, become intellectual giants, but you are souls. You must know about your own self as well. They simply say, out of 24 hours of the day, you should devote some part of it in search of your own self. Man's greatest search is man. Just search yourself. When you know your own self, only then can you know the overself. And that is from the talk given the title The Kingdom of God, the third in the series of four that Master Kripal Singh gave in Philadelphia on successive evenings in 1955. And we'll continue the tape, which is a talk that has been playing, a satsang given in Toronto, Ontario, in 1992, June of 1992, with the talk Lost in the Mystery.
In sab jag maya bas yeh nirmal gat koi na paaye jin par daya aad karta ki so yeh amrat पीवन चाहे
जिदे उते याद करता दी दया मेहर है ओ बचपने ते उस दे अंदर पपीहे दी तरह प्यास हुंदी है के मैनू कोई गुरु प्यारा मिले गुरु मिले मैनू नाम मिले
He upon whom there is the grace of God Almighty right from his childhood like a rain bird he has the yearning And he always wishes to meet the perfect master and get the naam.
ਅਸੀਂ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਦੀਆਂ ਬਾਣੀਆਂ ਪੜ੍ਹਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਬਚਪਨੇ ਤੋਂ ਹੀ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਤਲਾਸ਼ ਰਹੀ ਹੈ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਉਹ ਤੜਫਦੇ ਗੁਰੂਆਂ ਪਾਸ ਗਏ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕੀਤੀ
We read in the histories of the perfect masters that how right from their childhood they were in search for God Almighty and how much yearning they had and how they searched for the perfect masters and went to them and requested for the naam
guru nanak dev di histi to sanu pata lagda hai ke bachpane to hi unna de mata pita unna nu samjhaun lage pay re samjhaunde rahe hora lokan nu kehnde inna nu vapar chalao inna nu kheti wadi de tande vich lao
and also from the history of guru nanak we come to know that right from his childhood his parents always encouraged him to do the worldly things and they asked the other people to make him do some business or do some farming or do the worldly things
aitho tak guru nanak dev nu ek mullan de paas lagaye tweej karawan waste ke ji inna nu bhoot preet da chhaya hai
they even took guru nanak to one mulla and they asked him to give him an amulet they told him that he has the shadow or he has the effect of some ghost or some evil spirits
to guru nanak dev ji maharaj kehne lage koi aankhe bhootna ko kaha betala koi aankhe aadmi nanake vichara
so guru nanak sahib had said that some people used to say that I am affected by the ghost some people used to say that I am affected by the spirits the other people who had more sympathy for me they used to say that he is poor nanak
ਇਹੀ ਹਾਲਤ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਦੀ ਸੀ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਮਾਤਾ ਪਿਤਾ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਤੇ ਨਾਰਾਜ਼ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸਨ ਕਿ ਇਹਦੇ ਕੋਲ ਸਾਰਾ ਦਿਨ ਹੀ ਲੋਕ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਰਾਮ ਦੀ ਚਰਚਾ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਮੁਸਲਮਾਨੀ ਜਾਤੀ ਵਿੱਚ ਪੈਦਾ ਹੋਏ ਸੀਗੇ ਮੁਸਲਮਾਨ ਲੋਕ ਰਾਮ ਦੇ ਲਫ਼ਜ਼ ਕਹਿਣਾ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਲ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਲੋਕ ਲਫ਼ਜ਼ਾਂ ਦੇ ਚੱਕਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਤੋ ਉਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੀ ਸਾਡੀ ਕੁਲ ਚ ਤਾਂ ਕੋਈ ਰਾਮ ਦਾ ਨਾਮ ਹੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਸੀਗਾ ਇਹ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਆ ਗਿਆ ਹੈ
ਸੇਮ ਵਾਸ ਦ ਕੰਡੀਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਹਿਸ ਪੇਰੈਂਟਸ ਵਰ ਆਲਸੋ ਵੈਰੀ ਅਪਸੈਟ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਪੀਪਲ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਕਮ ਇਨ ਨੰਬਰਸ ਟੂ ਸੀ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਵੁੱਡ ਸਿੰਗ ਦ ਪ੍ਰੇਸ ਆਫ ਰਾਮ ਦ ਲਾਰਡ ਐਂਡ ਯੂ ਨੋ ਦੈਟ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਵਾਸ ਬੋਰਨ ਇਨ ਅ ਮੁਸਲਿਮ ਫੈਮਿਲੀ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਡੋਂਟ ਲਾਈਕ ਟੂ ਰਿਪੀਟ ਦ ਨੇਮ ਰਾਮ You know that because we people are involved in this dispute of the words by which we remember God. So his parents used to say that in our family, nobody takes the name of Ram. From where this boy has come, who always sings the praises of Naam.
ਇਹੀ ਹਾਲਤ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਦੀ ਸੀਗੀ ਕਿਵੇਂ ਬਚਪਨੇ ਤੋਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਖੋਜ ਸੀ ਇਹੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਦੀ ਸੀ ਕਿ ਕਿਵੇਂ ਬਚਪਨੇ ਤੋਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਦਿਲ ਅੰਦਰ ਤੜਫ ਸੀ ਖੋਜ ਸੀ
The same was the condition of Master Kripal Singh and Master Saman Singh right from their childhood, right from the beginning. They had so much yearning to meet God Almighty and they searched for Him.
So, this was the kind of lage, jede es tarah de premi virle virle hunde hai. To main apne mutalliq dasda na ke jad main karobar ch na ruchi rakhda, akhaan band karke chaukri maar ke behna mera bachpane da hi kasab siga. तो पिता जी नू काफी हैरानी रहिंदी परेशानी रहिंदी जिस महात्मा तो बाबा बिशनदास तो मैंने दो शब्द दा भेद मिलिया सी उना कोले मेरा इलाज करवाने वास्ते लगया सीगा.
सच डियर वंस आर वेरी फ्यू. रिगार्डिंग माई सेल्फ आई हैव ऑफन सेड दैट व्हेन इन माई चाइल्डहुड आई डिड नॉट शो एनी इंटरेस्ट इन डूइंग द वर्ल्डली थिंग्स एंड आई वुड सिट डाउन क्रॉस लेगेड इन द पोस्चर ऑफ द मेडिटेशन. आई यूज्ड टू डू दिस राइट फ्रॉम द बिगिनिंग सिंस माई चाइल्डहुड. So my parents didn't like that and they took me to Baba Bishandas, who later on gave me the initiation into the first two words. Originally they had taken me to Baba Bishandas only because they wanted him to treat me because they thought that I was sick.
Lekin eh virle virle malik de pyare hunde hai jinna de dil andar bachpane to eh ruchi hundi hai ke sanu koi guru mile naam mile oh kaise bhagan wale log san jinna nu jeevit mahapurush mile aur jehde unna di sangat de vich ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਚਰਨਾਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਬੈਠੇ.
ਸੋ ਰੇਅਰ ਆਰ ਸੱਚ ਬਿਲੋਵਰਸ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ ਹੂ ਰਾਈਟ ਫਰੋਮ ਦੇਅਰ ਚਾਈਲਡਹੁੱਡ ਰਾਈਟ ਫਰੋਮ ਦ ਬਿਗਿਨਿੰਗ ਹੈਵ ਦ ਯਰਨਿੰਗ ਟੂ ਮੀਟ ਗੋਡ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਆਲਵੇਸ ਵਿਸ਼ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਆਲਵੇਸ ਵੰਡਰ ਦੈਟ ਵਾਟ ਕਾਇੰਡ ਆਫ ਪੀਪਲ ਦੇ ਵੇਅਰ ਹੂ ਗੋਟ ਸੱਚ ਬਲੈਸਿੰਗਸ ਟੂ ਸਿਟ ਐਟ ਦ ਫੀਟ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰਸ ਐਂਡ ਦੋਜ਼ ਵਰ ਏਬਲ ਟੂ ਸਪੈਂਡ ਟਾਈਮ ਇਨ ਦੇਅਰ ਕੰਪਨੀ.
ਔਰ ਐਸੀਆਂ ਆਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਬਚਪਨੇ ਤੋਂ ਹੀ ਜਾਤੀ ਪਾਤੀ ਦਾ ਭੇਦਭਾਵ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਗਾ.
Within such souls, right from their beginning, right from their childhood, they do not feel any difference between the religions and they have love for everyone.
So Swami Ji Maharaj kehnde hai, virle virle ji, paagaan wale hai, jede es nirmal gati nu naam nu prapt karna chahunde hai.
So Swami Ji Maharaj says that rare are the souls, very fortunate are those souls. who want to achieve this condition, who want to do the meditation of now.
Kahan lag mahima kahun is gat ki birle gurmukh chinat tahi.
Main is gati di ki mahima karan. ਕੋਈ ਗੁਰਮੁਖ ਹੋ ਕੇ ਹੀ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ ਇਸ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ ਨੂੰ ਪੀ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ.
ਵਟ ਗਲੋਰੀ ਕੈਨ ਆਈ ਸਿੰਗ ਆਫ ਦਿਸ ਕੰਡੀਸ਼ਨ ਓਨਲੀ ਆਫਟਰ ਬਿਕਮਿੰਗ ਅ ਗੁਰਮੁਖ ਕੈਨ ਵਨ ਡਰਿੰਕ ਦਿਸ ਐਂਡ ਕੈਨ ਵਨ ਅੰਡਰਸਟੈਂਡ ਦਿਸ.
ਗੁਰਮੁਖ ਕਿੱਥੇ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਬਣਦਾ ਹੈ ਬੜੀ ਸੋਚ ਸਮਝਣ ਵਾਲੀ ਗੱਲ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਆਪਣੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਤੋਂ ਅਸਥੂਲ ਸੂਕਸ਼ਮ ਕਾਰਨ ਸਾਰੇ ਪੜਦੇ ਲਾ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਰਜੋ ਗੁਣ ਤਮੋ ਗੁਣ ਸਤੋ ਗੁਣ ਤੋਂ ਉੱਪਰ ਮਨ ਮਾਇਆ ਦੇ ਗੁਲਾਫ ਲਾ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ 25 ਪ੍ਰਕਿਰਤੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਗੁਲਾਫ ਲਾ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਪਾਰ ਬ੍ਰਹਮ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਫਿਰ ਗੁਰਮੁਖ ਬਣਦਾ ਹੈ.
ਆਫਟਰ ਰੀਚਿੰਗ ਵੇਅਰ ਡਜ਼ ਵਨ ਬਿਕਮ ਦ ਗੁਰਮੁਖ. ਦਿਸ ਇਜ਼ ਸਮਥਿੰਗ ਵਿਚ ਵੀ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਥਿੰਕ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਪੇਸ਼ੈਂਟਲੀ. ਵੈਨ ਵਨ ਰਾਈਜ਼ਸ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਦ ਫਿਜ਼ੀਕਲ ਆਸਟਲ ਐਂਡ ਕੌਜ਼ਲ ਬੋਡੀਜ਼ and when one rises above the mind and the 25 prakritis and all the organs of senses and reaches the parabrahm, only after reaching the parabrahm and only after rising above the rajogun tamogun and satogun one becomes the gurumukh.
Kya guru da muh banna hai jo guru bolda ohi oda shish bolda hai.
It means to become the mouthpiece of the master. Whatever the master speaks, his disciple also speaks the same thing.
कहां लाग महिमा कहूं इस गत की बिरले गुरमुख चीनत ताही बिन गुर चरण और नह पावे इस आनंद में रहे समाए.
ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਬਗੈਰ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਪਿਆਰ ਤੋਂ ਹੋਰ ਕੁਝ ਚੰਗਾ ਹੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਦਾ. ਜਿੱਥੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਪਿਆਰ ਦੀ ਚਰਚਾ ਹੈ ਉੱਥੇ ਹੀ ਉਹ ਬੈਠਦੇ ਹੈ. ਉਹ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਚਰਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਆਨੰਦ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੀ ਮਸਤ ਰਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ.
ਦੇ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਲਾਈਕ ਐਨੀ ਵਨ ਐਕਸੈਪਟ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਲਵ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ And they always like to go and sit with those who talk about the love of the master because they are looking only for the love.
Maharaj Savan Singh apni ik naam leva di kahani sunaunde hunde sige. Odi shaadi hui sohrayan wale Haridwar Ganga nu mande san. Onu utthe le gaye utthe jaake jad जो उन्हों का रीति रिवाज से कराया सत्संग आई उस तो बाद महाराज सावन सिंह कहने लगी मैनू कोई टाइम चाहिए है उन्हें टाइम दिता वह जब सारी कहानी सुनाउन लगी महाराज जी कहन लगे हाँ फिर काको अगे मैनू जी वो गंगा ते ले गए अगे फिर की सी मैनू उन्होंने पैसा दिता भी देवी माता नू मत्था टेक के फिर के मैं वो देवी माता दे जोर दी खिच के मत्थे विच मारिया के फिर किसी के तू अलोप हो गया महाराज कहंदे भी कन्ना नू हाथ ला भी मैं तू इष्ट क्यों बदलिया वो कहंदी कि तू भी कन्ना नू हाथ ला भी मैं फिर अलोप नहीं हुंदा गा.
मास्टर सावन सिंह जी यूज्ड टू टेल अ स्टोरी अबाउट हिज इनिशिएट who was married to a family who were not initiates, but they used to go to Haridwar, the holy place, and they used to believe in there. So after she got married, they took her to Haridwar, and she was asked to perform all the rites and rituals which they were used to be doing. So she used to have very good meditations, and she would always feel the presence of the master with her. But when she was doing that rite and ritual, all of a sudden, Master's form disappeared from there. So when she came to Master Savan Singh, she requested for some time. She said that I want to talk to you. So Master gave her the time. And when she was telling Master Savan Singh the whole story, that how when she got married and she was taken to Haridwar, Master would go on saying, okay, and then. So then she said, well, then they took me to Haridwar. So then Master Savan Singh asked, and then? So she replied, then they made me do all the rites and rituals, and then they gave me a coin to offer at the feet of the goddess. Master Savan Singh then asked, and then what happened? So she said, then I threw that coin at the forehead of that goddess. So Master Savan Singh asked her, and then? So she replied, and then you disappeared. So Master Savan Singh said that now you should touch your ears and you should repent that you will never change the form of contemplation. You will always remember the form of the master. So she said that you should also repent and touch your ears and promise that you will never disappear.
Bin gur charan aur ne paavi इस आनंद में रहे समाई दर्शन करत पिंड सुध पूली फिर कर बाहर सुध क्या आए.
ऐसी प्रेमी आत्मा नू जद गुरु दे पास आउंदे है वह अपनी होश ही भुल जाते हैं गल करनी ही भुल जाते हैं वक्त ही नहीं याद रहा कि किस तरह गुजरता है.
सच अ लवर सोल्स व्हेन दे कम टू द मास्टर दे फॉरगेट टॉकिंग टू द मास्टर दे फॉरगेट व्हाट दे शुड टेल द मास्टर एंड दे गेट सो मच इंटॉक्सिकेटेड इन द कंपनी ऑफ द मास्टर दैट दे डू नॉट इवन रिमेन अवेयर दैट हाउ द टाइम वेंट बाय.
दर्शन करत पिंड सुध पूली फिर कर बाहर सुध क्या आई ऐसी सुरत प्रेम रंग पीनी तिन की गत क्या कहूं सुनाई.
स्वामी जी महाराज जिन्हां नूं इन्ना नाम दा नशा चढ़ गया जिन्हां दी आत्मा जिहड़ी है प्रेम दे विच भिज चुकी है उन्हां दी की महिमा बयान करिए की गति बयान करिए
स्वामी जी महाराज से दर वॉट कैन आई डिस्क्राइब द कंडीशन ऑफ दोज हु हैव गॉट सो मच इंटॉक्सिकेटेड इन द मेडिटेशन ऑफ द नाम एंड दोज हु हैव drenched themselves, made themselves wet in the love of the Master and in the love of the meditation. He said that what can I say in description of them, what can I say in the glory of them.
Aisi surat prem rang
Our closing bhajan is a bhajan of Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj on page 157. Tati vau nalagadi ji. The hot wind doesn't blow over one who has the Guru's protection. The Lord's protecting circle is on all four sides. Pain and sorrow do not bother me, O brother. I have met the perfect Satguru who has made me as he wanted. He gave me the medicine of God's name, and I am in tune with him. The protector has saved me and cured all my sickness. Nanak says, the Lord has given his grace and support to me. The hot wind doesn't blow over one who has the Guru's protection. Tati vaho na lagadi ji gurandi sharana peya Tati vaho na lagadi ji gurandi sharana peya Tati vaho na lagai Tati vaho na lagai Parabrahma sharani Gurandi sharana peya tati vao na lagadi ji Gurandi sharana peya tati vao na lagadi ji Gurandi sharana peya Chau girdha mahare ramakarda Chau girdha mahare ramakarda Dukh lage na bhai ji, Gurandi sharana peya, Tati vaho na lagadi ji, Gurandi sharana peya, Tati vaho na lagadi ji, Gurandi sharana peya, Satguru pura betiya, Satguru pura betiya Jina banata banai ji Gurandi sharana peya Tati vaho na lagadi ji Gurandi sharana peya Tati vaho na lagadi ji Gurandi sharana peya Ram nama o kadadiya Ram nama o kadadiya Ekalivalai ji Gurandi sharana peya Tati vaho na lagadi ji Gurandi sharana peya Tati vaho na lagadi ji Gurandi sharana peya Rakh liya tis rakhnahara Rakh liya tis rakhnahara Sab vyad mitai ji Gurandi sharana peya Tati vaho na lagadi ji Gurandi sharana peya Tati vaho na lagadi ji Gurandi sharana peya Kaho nanak kirpa bhai Kaho nanak kirpa bhai Prabh bhayo sahai ji kurandi sharana peya tativao na lagadi ji kurandi sharana peya tativao na lagadi ji kurandi sharana peya. The hot wind doesn't blow over one who has the Guru's protection. Nanak says, the Lord has given his grace and support to me. May God continue to bless us all.